If you want to grab your Bibles, if you have one, if not, there are lots of Bibles at the back, and we are in Hebrews chapter 10 and into chapter 11 now. I practice turning on this. Yeah, great. So Hebrews 10:36 we're starting at, and reading just into the beginning of chapter 11, verse 2. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So keep your Bibles open and we'll be referring to that. In the school I used to work, the head teacher would set a weekly philosophy question for the children to answer. And one week the question was, what makes God smile? Now we were a church school, so we can get away with that sort of thing. But I wonder what your answer would be. What makes God smile? I'm sure there are lots of things, like, as the children said, when we sing praises to him, that makes him smile. When we say thank you to him for what he's given us, that makes him smile. But I would venture that one thing that makes God smile is when we trust him. Now, sometimes that's easier to do than others. And there are songs that we sing, aren't there, like Blessed Be Your Name and 10,000 Reasons that talk about trusting God in the good times and in the bad times. But personally, I sometimes find those songs really hard to sing. I don't know about you. The book of Hebrews is written to Christians for whom those sorts of songs would have been really, really tough to sing. Look at the things they've been through. In verses 32 to 34, it talks about, in chapter 10, it talks about insults, persecution, imprisonment, confiscation of their property. And these Hebrew Christians had got to a point where they were tempted to jack the whole thing in and go back to Judaism. But the overwhelming message of the book of Hebrews is don't give up. Keep going, persevere, finish the race. And the writer breaks up his argument from the end of chapter 10, which he then continues into chapter 12, with this section in chapter 11 about faith, which are very well-known verses. Faith, he says, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So there are two parts to it. Confidence in what we hope for. So the idea of looking to the future for something that has been promised to us that God will do. And assurance of what we do not see. So acknowledging that there are current realities now in the here and now that are invisible, but that are true, that we need to remember. So those are the two things that we're going to look at in turn. So first of all, a future hope. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. So what is it that we hope for? The fact that one day we're going to go and be with Jesus in heaven, enjoying eternity with him. Well, that's certainly part of it. The fact that one day there will be no more tears or sickness or sadness. That's another part of it as well. But if we really want to understand fully the reality of the future that God has promised to us, that's going to drive us forward as we finish the race, we need to look. This verse helps us. In Ephesians, Paul writes, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And this is the key bit. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's God's will. That's his plan for our world. For everything in heaven and earth to become under the lordship of Jesus. That's the goal that we're heading towards. That's exciting, isn't it? Really exciting knowing that that is God's plan. What a difference it would make to us if we had that more at the forefront of our minds. What a difference it would make as we pray for the challenges that we face in life. We pray for loved ones. We pray for our world. As we pray for ourselves. That God's big purpose is to bring everything under the lordship of Jesus. And he's doing that, isn't he? He's done it already in us. The fact that we have come to faith. We have come under the lordship of Jesus. And he's doing it every day in his world as more and more people come to know him. And we're moving towards that time when everyone and everything will submit to Jesus, whether willingly, because they respond to his message, or when he returns and they are faced with the reality of who he is. This morning we sang these words, every tongue in heaven and earth will declare your glory. Every knee will bow at your throne in worship. So ongoing faith looks forward to that future hope, the day when Jesus will return. And in chapter 12, the Christians there are told to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, seated in heaven. Remember that he's going to return and everyone will see him. Because for these early Christians, their present predicament was so tough, they needed to be reminded of that future hope. They needed as well to be reminded of what Jesus had suffered for them in verse 3 of chapter 12. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Remember Jesus. And I believe this is a word for us too. Maybe we're growing a bit weary or becoming disheartened. Maybe life is really tough at the moment and you're struggling to get through each day. Maybe there are worries that are in danger of consuming you. Look to Jesus, his word says. Keep going, have faith in that future hope that is yours. I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks ago when Jill was leading, she put some photos up to inspire us in our prayers. And there was this one that caught my eye because I was already thinking about what I was going to be saying this evening. And I think Ernie, I think it was, prayed about this idea of not being able to see very far ahead in the path, but that trusting that God knows what's coming. And it's true, isn't it? We have an awareness of what might be coming in the immediate future. Sometimes we don't even know that. But we can't predict what's going to be the other side of that hill. But we know, according to his word, that God has put this end point that we are heading to. God is bringing everything together under Christ. And this future hope spurs us on to the finishing line. So that's one part of it. Faith is our future hope. And secondly, the invisible reality. Faith is assurance about what we do not see. It's trusting in a present reality that at the moment is invisible. We need to remember that what we see around us isn't the whole picture. Absolutely. God is working behind the scenes in ways that we can barely imagine. The Bible tells us very clearly there's a spiritual battle going on, but there's only ultimately going to be one winner. And sometimes it feels as though the devil is winning, but we know that God's sovereign. And he's using people and events all over the world to fulfil his purposes. That's the invisible reality that we need to remember. Over recent months, I've become more and more aware of the way that God has been working behind the scenes in my life. Sometimes prayers haven't been answered in the way that I hoped they would be. But I've had to trust God, knowing that he's got it covered and that he's got something better. I'm sure we've all got stories like that of how God is working behind the scenes in our lives, how he's answered prayers over the years for us in ways that we never expected. So, if we think of faith as knowing that something or someone can be trusted even though we can't see them, you think about it, we exercise faith all the time. Now, I'm not a great fan of flying. I do it because it takes me to nice sunny places. But every time I get on a plane, I feel very anxious. The problem is, you see, I don't understand what's going on. I look at these hundreds of people getting on this really big plane and I think, how is this thing staying up in the air? Now, I'm sure there's some very clever people here who could explain to me the science behind it, but I just don't get it. And I walk up the steps, and sometimes you walk up the steps and you catch a glimpse of the pilots in the cockpit and you think, I've got to trust these guys. I'm actually placing my life in their hands. I've got to go trust these guys. And actually, it's not helped by the fact, have you noticed that they're getting younger as well? They are incredibly young, straight out of school, some of them. But at that point, I have to make a decision. Either I ask there and then to see the copies of their qualifications as pilots, plus all the rest, all the paperwork to show that the plane is fit to fly, and refuse to get on board the plane unless I've seen it. Or I make a decision to go in, sit down, quietly take my seat, praying nervously under my breath that God will keep the thing in the air. And that's obviously what I do. I'm trusting in something that is invisible. the skill of the pilots and the crew. There are two things about this invisible reality that are worth considering. My faith in the pilot and in the aeroplane is not blind faith. It's not completely irrational. I don't walk onto any random vehicle driven by any random person and expect it to fly me to the south of France just because I believe it. My faith is based on evidence. But at the same time, I don't know everything about the plane and I don't know everything about the pilot, but I've got enough to trust. In the same way, I don't know everything about God or why he chooses to do things the way he does. But I know enough about him to make a decision to trust him in the unknown. And secondly, unless I act upon my faith, it's worthless. If I say that I trust the pilot and the crew, but my feet stay firmly on the ground, then my faith is useless. It was a bit like that zip wire in Gloucester yesterday. Did anybody see that? In the city centre. If you don't know about this, there was a zip wire. There was a big crane at the bottom of Northgate Street that went up, goodness knows how high, and a zip wire from there to the top of Southgate Street. And people were paying nearly £30 to go up in this thing and go through the centre of Gloucester on a zip wire. Those people who are exercising faith, you would not get me up there if you paid me to do it. You wouldn't even get me up the crane, let alone going along the zip wire. But that's faith, isn't it? Unless you actually get up and do it, you don't have the faith. And one commentator puts it like this. Faith is man's response to what God has said. It takes seriously the message of God's revealed truth in Holy Scripture. It does not merely agree with God's word, but acts upon it. And the rest of Hebrews 11 is full of examples of people who had the assurance of things unseen. People who took God at his word and acted upon it. People who knew the promises of God and believed them and kept on believing them, even though at times everything around them shouted the opposite. And their faith led to action. Noah built an ark. Abraham left home. God's people passed through the Red Sea. And as we sing in a little while about faith and having faith in God, we will also pray and ask God to give us that faith. I always love that verse in one of the Gospels where the man comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because it's not about us trying to summon up the faith. It's about us coming to God saying, yes, I believe this much, but I know it's not enough. And I need you to help me with my unbelief. The real challenge for us is, are we going to do it? Is it going to make a difference? Are we going to step out? What's going to happen tomorrow, later in the week, later in the year? Rick Warren says that trusting God is an act of worship. It's like jumping into your father's arms. I don't know, I like this photo. I don't know if you can see it. What's the expression on the dad's face? You see, he's smiling. And I know that for all of us, when our children trust us, it makes us happy, doesn't it? I think it's one of those things that does make God smile when we say, yes, Lord, I trust you. Please help me with my unbelief. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. I've really had it on my heart, the number of people I've been speaking to, people being concerned about, for lack of a better word, prodigals, people who may have once been brought up in Christian families but are no longer following Jesus, or family members like Steve and myself, our families have never been Christians. And I find that those are the sort of prayers that you pray again and again and again. And it seems as though God isn't answering them. But we believe, don't we, that God is working behind the scenes. And who knows what is going on in the lives of those people who we prayed for many, many years. So I think it'd be really nice if we were to get into twos or threes. And if there's any one in particular you think you would really like to pray for, either in that context, or if there's an issue where you think, I really need God's help to help me trust in this, then if you feel it's appropriate to share with the person you're with and to pray and ask God to give us that faith to really step out and to trust him and to know that he has these things under control. So remember that future hope that we have, that God is bringing everything together under Jesus, and the fact that there is an invisible reality of what God is doing now, bringing people to himself. I'll just pray and then we could split into two little groups. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faith that you have given us. And we would ask, Lord, that you would give us more faith. Lord, we've sung that song about how we believe in you. We believe in what you've done in Jesus. But Lord, we do sometimes find it hard to really understand some of the things that are going on. Some prayers that don't seem to be answered. Situations that we don't get what you're doing. Father, help us to trust you, knowing that you are 100% reliable, that you are sovereign. And as we pray now, Lord, we pray that we might be an encouragement to one another, and Lord, that we might be a blessing to you as we say that we do believe you and we want to trust you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.